just coming over and so many things going through my mind about what if I did preach tonight. I was wanting to preach on joy, but I was afraid to preach on it because it's Brother Raines' outline. So. I got it from him years ago when he was preaching on the cup, My Cup Runneth Over, preaching that series. I got those tapes then. And I used that over there with Farrell Shepherd, the preacher up on that hill. He lived on that hill. He's not there no more. I preached out of Psalm 23 that whole week. And I just thank the Lord for also myself, brother, men that I've God has allowed me to be with. I wouldn't take nothing for the men that the Lord has let me work with and fellowship with, you know, and walk together for these years. Not only did we help each other, but it worked in our lives as we molded ourselves through the Word of God, preaching to each other. And molded us, made us what we need to be. You didn't even realize it at the time, but when you get older, you'll realize how good God was to let you get in those places and hear the Word of God. I'm just thankful tonight the mercies of the Lord still allowed me to still be standing, because so many of our men that we know are leaving, you know, and we're still around, Brother Raines, and we're still here. And I want to preach tonight on the three things that Elijah did after he came out of depression. The three things he did. Now one thing you're going to have to be for sure, he came out of. Always the end of God is victory. Always the end of it, it always is. You said there are some people that committed suicide in the Bible, but it wasn't because of depression. Now, I'm not trying to be mean there. Understand what I mean? The failure of man is it's his failure. It's his failure, but that Bible don't teach that. Paul came to despair in Corinthians, did he not? Solomon came to despair when he looked at the whole world. He said, vexation of spirit, vanity. It's not even despair. Job came to despair. You say, well, there was others that killed. Samson did. Yeah, but he did that. When he did do that, he took out those Philistines, didn't he not? He said, give me strength one more time. Then Saul, when he took his life, he didn't do it on depression. He did it in fear. In the army there, the time I'd ever did get in the position of a POW or in that place, I don't know what I would have done if I did get there. But within you was always, you will escape. You will always escape. No matter what it takes, you will escape. Now that's in man. And I'm not trying to get in this psychological analyzation thing. I'm just taking some men in the Bible. I understand my mentality according to that book. I don't need a psychiatrist, amen. I've got the Holy Ghost, amen. And I've got the Word of God, amen. And the Word of God is powerful, amen. If you just take His Word and put it in your heart, it'll give you rest. It'll give you power, amen. If just a simple little old verse can give you overcoming power. Just a little old simple verse. Just a little simple verse. Get up, your minds are roaring and you're having a bad night. Go in there and flip your study down. Open your Bible up and it says, husband, love your wives. My goodness gracious, you know. I said, what a simple thing. You know, what a simple thing. Wouldn't that help a lot of preachers? Wouldn't that help a lot of people if they just obey what that book says, amen? Obey what it says. That'll give you strength, amen. Now let's go to the marriage counselor. Sit down and let them counsel me. You need a counsel by the Word of God from the pulpit with a man of God preaching you the book, amen. It'll do the work, amen. It'll settle your mind. It'll establish your goings. It'll do what it needs to do in your heart. When the Word of God preached, amen. Not the intellectualism of man. Not his intelligence. Not how smart he is. Not the way he can do all things. Well, that wasn't my introduction. I was going to have some other things to introduce this thing with. There's three secrets of effectual communications. Paul or Elijah was convinced. I'll get to the text in a minute. Elijah was convinced of the reality of God. He said, as the Lord God liveth. I'll preach everything on this thing. Has he ever come alive in your heart? Has a living God ever got in you, buddy? I'm not talking about what I meant you might know. You can know everything about the Scriptures. You can quote every verse you want to quote. You can read every book you want to read. But you better have a living Holy Ghost in your heart, amen. There better be a Spirit of God in you, or you're not got born again, amen. Woo, amen. That's the difference between our dumb fathers that didn't have an education and a living God in them. Are you convinced of the reality of a living God in you? As the Lord God liveth, are you convicted of the responsibility that you have with God? Are you convicted of your responsibility before whom I stand? You ever check that out, buddy? It'll make you preach. It'll make you not be favorable to man. You won't be partial. And when you get before all the enemy and everything else, you're before the Lord. Who are you going to stand for? Before whom I stand. Man shouldn't make you fear. This old Obama and all that other bunch shouldn't shake your knees. All the other rest of the ISIS and everything else. You're a Vietnam veteran, a ranger and everything else. I ain't depending on that, bless God, I'm too old. Amen, I ain't depending on whatsoever anyway. If I get it, it'll make no difference. Oh, God, I'm buddy, I'm killed. You just might as well. Well, I ain't going to get there, my goodness gracious. Amen. My reason I don't fear that man of fear, the army of fear, ISIS, is because I stand before the Lord. I stand before God, amen. And when I hold the reality of living God in me, I also know that I'm responsible for my stand before this evil generation. There's a lot of people don't like preaching because they're for the devil, amen. That's what's wrong with them. They're for their own stinking mind. They think they know everything, amen. Woo! There's only one person can help you, and that's Jesus. There's only one thing to help you is the Holy Ghost. There's only one thing that settles your mind. That's the Word of God through the power of God. Amen. Amen. That'll put you to sleep at night. Amen. You'll be able to rest when you take that Bible. You won't have to open your Facebook and your push your buttons. You won't have to turn the television on. You just go ahead and stick your nose in the book and pray to God. It'll do the work. It'll do the work. It's a nervous people nowadays, ain't they? Restless, nervous. You can't even talk to them. He talks to the little girls. They talk so fast you can't even understand what they're saying. And then these 60 and 70 year old women talk like little girls. Hi, sweetie. You don't call me sweetie, ma'am. You have a good day now, bless, sir. Something good's going to happen to you today. Remember that old preacher? There's something good going to happen to you today. Well, I know that's true. But all I see out there is evil and troubles. And the only thing good about it is how God gives me grace to overcome it. That's the only good about it. The only good about there's sufficient grace, buddy. Grace teaches me and grace enables me. And the more I work, the more grace I need. The more help I need. The more you go, the more you need God. The older you get, the more you need God. You need God more and more every day. Amen. I'm like old Joe Bryant. I get a little still. I like to give a good little outline to get started. Though his starting messages are better than his messages most time. Amen. I'd rather have his introduction. Some I say, Brother Joe, I'd rather have your introduction than your message. Amen. I'm convinced. I'm talking about three effectual ways to communicate. You want to be effectual in your communications? You better convince that there's a living God in you. You better have the reality of God. Don't play games with your soul. Don't play games with your mind. You know when God's around, buddy. You know when God speaks to you. You know when the Lord is talking to you. You know when God's in the car. You know when you're getting in prayer. You'll know it. I said you'll know it. Better make sure your faith is unfeigned. Unfeigned faith. That's a faith with hypocrisy. You hypocrite. Playing, performing that you're saved. You know there's no reality in your soul. You know there's no reality. Son, will you experience some times, Doc? Woo! Amen. I tell you, I'm in another world. We'd be in another world. I was in full control. I want to let you know I wasn't speaking in tongues and I wasn't doing anything. That's what I said. But we were in another world, brother. We were in another world. And you know what was going on? Crying and a shouting and loving and hugging and each other. Such a unity, such a place. There was a glory. There was a glory. And guess who led us there? Them old preachers led us to the way that we lead others. We're trying to lead this generation in true worship and true work in a true way of God. Try to show them the way and tell them the way. And they don't like loud preaching. I'm sorry. That's the way I got it. That's the way it's going to come nowadays. Amen. They were loud preachers, sweating, popping, but they knew that book and they knew God. Are you convinced of reality of God? As the Lord God liveth, are you convicted of the responsibility of God before whom you stand? Then are you confident that you're His representative? He prayed on that thing. When he made that prayer, there's one statement he made in there. Let them know that I am thy servant. Are you confident to know that God called you? Not a Baptist, not mama and pop that sent these little squeaky preachers. Mama's got them, most of them, little wimp-wristed things. What they need to do is get outside and run them through the hell, you know. You say, well, you need a deep voice. Well, it'll help you. It'll help you a lot. And then you got the girls acting like boys. You say, well, it's a new thing to preach. Did you ever hear Harold B. Sautner's message on she men and he women? Did you ever hear that message? She men and he women. That was back a long time ago. I wonder what he'd preach today. I guarantee you one thing, he'd preach it. I promise you, he'd preach it. He wouldn't be fair to anybody else. He would preach it. Then you see his congregation, godly dressing people, singing the old songs of Zion. Them elders had the peace of God in them. They'd come into the house of God and they'd love to go to church. They loved to go to church. They loved to sing in the choir. They loved the old time way. I'll ride down that road there. I say, God, it ain't in the day when we used to just love to go to church. Just want to go there and be with the people of God. Let the choir sing. Let God get in the midst. This outfit don't know anything about that. They're trying everything in the world, trying to do anything to do, trying to see how in the world. They'll go this way, go that way. I believe there's only one way. Amen, amen. You can't take away from that place. That's where God. and saves and changes lives and makes good homes and makes good families, you better understand one thing. He's got real preaching. He's got real men of God. He's got the right kind of people. It ain't no other way. Ain't no other way. Our culture has changed because we've let this much take away the old time way. That's why it's changed. I got some news for him, buddy. Got some news for him. I'm not getting out of the way. I don't care how many gets in our church. Ain't not my duty, but I'll guarantee one thing they're going to know. Oh, they want you to do shut up. That's all I'm trying my best. Well, I don't need to get there. Are you convinced that you're a representative of God? You ought to wrestle with God until you have His power. Wrestling with God till you have His power. I still believe in the power that comes to you is from prayer. I know a big fella keeps talking about power comes from knowledge. E.M. Bounds said knowledge is a hindrance to power of prayer. Now you get to thinking you know everything, you ain't going to plead with God. You get to thinking you know everything about God and you got it all down and you're able to say everything and everything. You know when you're really getting a hold of God? When you ain't nothing and you can't say nothing, buddy. When you get before God and you got no words to say and you ain't got nothing to say, all you can do is groan and you ain't got no big statements and just let me go, God, give me a... Almost he won't think, old Brother Rainwater used to say, all you want the power of God is that you might perform. You ought to perform. He said, that ain't the reason that you need God's power. You need the power of God that you might represent God and let God work in your life that people might know the Lord. They might know the Lord. You ought to wrestle. Spurgeon said, let's see what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, let's pray for more liberty in speech. More unction in the heads and hearts. Greater intensity of agony for souls. A greater earnestness in prayer. Let us be masters of the sacred art of wrestling with God. I hate to use, but remember I started there. And God. We get out there on them mats, remember? We go out there, get in them woods on them mats. You know? Remember, Brother Bob? We'd pray! Come in late at night, wasn't worried about how much you eat. Most of us sitting in that room are still praying about the day. Couldn't go to rest, couldn't even lay down. They'd be leaning up against the wall, wouldn't they? Crying. And you couldn't even walk into place without the Holy Ghost. Why? Well, that's my way. I know you've got places that you go. This is just ordained of God. And it's just God did it. So ain't no sense arguing about it. Let's just glory. Amen. Let's just shout over it. Let's praise God about it. Let's thank the Lord for what He done. And all what He's done in that time. And I'm going to thank Him tonight that I'm still standing here. I don't know. I don't like the way the things are nowadays. But if He's want me to hang around a while, that's what I'm trying to get to. If I can get there in a minute. On three things that Elijah did when he come out of depression. You convinced? Do you wrestle with God to get God's power? You ask a hard thing. What do you want? Are you working in the realization of God's presence? You've got to see a heavenly thing. He said, "You with me when I leave, you have it." Yet to walk that, and the two went on. Is there anybody you're going on with? Is there any man of God that you've got to hold on and he's just watching you? So what do you want, boy? What in the world you want? And he said, I want double portion of what you've got. I want double portion. He said, you've asked a hard thing. You want His power, you've asked a hard thing, buddy. I said, you asked a hard thing! And then you want to not only wrestle with Him for His power, you now to work with the realization of His presence. You better not be working without God's presence. You better work with His presence around, buddy. You better not have a church of the presence of God's not there. You're going to get in trouble, buddy. You got to have God around the place. You got to walk through the door. And when the people come into the house of God, they'll say, somebody's here. Somebody's here. Amen. They come walking in. You don't have to worry about a sodomite sitting down in the church if the presence of God's there. Amen. He can't take it, brother. He couldn't take it. If an old sinner's comfortable in your church, you're in trouble, buddy. He'll come walking through the door and the Holy Ghost is there. He won't be able to take it. Amen. I said amen. You worrying about the law taking care of you. Won't you let the Lord take care of you? Amen. Or to work in realization of God's presence. And then you ought to relinquish in your walk to God's purpose. Wrestle with Him till you get His power. Work with Him in His presence. Then walk in holy obedience, relinquishing unto God to do His purpose. What He want out of you? I've not liked some things I've had to be doing these last 13 years. Son, it ain't been me. It ain't, it's evangelism. Bunch of churches, man, goodness gracious. Sir! Go in that church and some of them, you know why them men don't want you to come back? Because they know they ain't where they ought to be. They don't want you there. If you're going to go in there and be a man of God, I'm not talking about going in there and being mean. All you got to do is just go in there and be a man of God. Just the right way. They can't take it anyway. They've already got that thing bound up in themselves. They're already holding on to it. They ain't not seeking the Lord. They're not fasting about it. They're not seeking God. They're not asking of the Lord. They're not calling on God about the right one. They don't fast and pray and get up over and then get the hold of God and say, God, who do you want? They've checked with the seminary. And I do believe that they need to check with the pastor where he comes out of because of his what he is. So the pastor knows a lot about him. And they'll check to his reference of that. But they better check with God if He's the one. Because they can be swayed partiality with somebody they might like real good. He might be qualified and everything else. But you better watch out. That's called cliques and things like that. They'll be persuaded by partiality. Now he's still under the authority of that pastor, and that pastor's the one watching where he goes and what he ought to do. But if the church is only weighing upon what that pastor said and that other person, you're in the wrong way. You need to get to God. You just check it out and make sure he's right. You need to work in the realization of his presence. You need to wrestle with him for his power. But you need to walk every day relinquishing yourself to God and left in holy obedience to God. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to do it. Whatever you want out of me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what the purpose of God is for me. Amen. You got a choice in that too. That's an election. Elected according to His purpose. Well, you've got a choice in that, buddy. You don't have to do it. You don't have to. But I want to let you one thing. If you're God's man, the gift and calling of God without repentance, He'll get you. If He called you to do the work, you don't do it. I got news for you, buddy. You're going to do it or go home. You're going to do it or die. One or the other. You're going to do it or die. You know, how does that work in you? You just become a preacher and you'll find out. You just become God's man. You'll find all about it because you'll fear Him, buddy. You'll fear what He's got to do. You'll fear His power. You'll fear Him working. You'll fear what He's got to do. That's not a wrong kind of fear. That's a reverential fear to my Lord. That's a fear to one that's over it all. That's a fear to God that's able to do anything. My great God can destroy anybody, work anyway. And He says, you obey me. Let Him fulfill His purpose in your life. It's an introduction. Can we read the text? 2 Kings chapter 2, so I'll get this thing going fast. 2 Kings chapter 1. I'm running fast as I can. I've done preached you two messages. Running on the third one right now. That's two messages. One of them, all 3 points I could preach for an hour, each one of them. I've jumped on them and run them real fast as I can. I'm going to try to run these other three just as quick, okay? Chapter 2. Chapter 1, 2 Kings, let's just run to verse 14. We got the man of God, we got Elijah on the mountain now. He's on a hill. He's not down under a juniper tree, he's on a hill. He's not on a mountain, Carmel. He's on a hill. And he's sitting on that hill. Sitting down. And a bunch of them come to him. The messengers of Ahaziah. You know what Ahaziah was doing? Now, I'm going to read here. I'll read in a minute. Just hold you. What Ahaziah was doing? He fell through the lattice. He was sick. And he sent those messengers out to seek the God of Ekron. And they ran into Elijah. Oh, my. Bad day. Bad day. Now, he's going to find something to help his sickness. I won't shout right there, it might hurt your ears. Woo! My wife got so mad at me yesterday. These veterans, the VAs want me to come to do my health checkup every year, you know. Come down there and, they get money to give to that little health checkup. I wouldn't trust them to take my blood. I got two doctors in my town I trust to do my work. To a McMillan and Bingham. When they checked me out for a hemangioma, which was a cancerous, they prayed over me and God touched my body. You know what my charge for the bill was? You know what Dr. Bingham said when I went out that last day? He said, Donnie, you don't owe me nothing. He said, just pray for my son. He's in sin. So I'll do that, Doc. So I'm not long ago, and his son's now preaching, brother, got a church. I went hit him too hard right there. You know. I got a lot of doctor friends. I got some in the family's doctor. You got to be real careful right there. You get in trouble. My sister probably beat me. I won't let you know something. My sisters could handle me. I tell you, Montana could do it, didn't she, Duck? She'd handle me, buddy. I said, yes, Montana. You know, I'm your big sister. I said, I know it. You know, we were getting into it one day, you know, and she turned around to me and said, I'm not telling you, I'm your big sister. I said, that's right. Well, you said, you did exactly right. So she was a lady, wasn't she, brother? She was a lady. He was seeking the help from the God of Ekron. And then come Elijah to him. Said, is there not a God in Israel? I want to ask you tonight, is there not a God in America? Is there not a God still in our existence, in our presence? Is our God left us? Nobody. There's still a God in this country, and that God's in me, amen. And he's still dwelling among this wicked, perverted nation, but I know one thing, he's still here. He's still here, amen. Because I'm a living reality of it. I'm a representative of him. That's why ordination services ain't nothing but a little old show. How many you gonna bring to see Johnny get ordained? Ain't worried about packing a place out. We need to find God there. Presbyteries half-baked anyway. The truth, they don't even know the books of the Bible, let alone try to ordain a man. You'd have an ordination service, ain't nothing but a show.
I mean, you're going to get come. Susie's going to bring Johnny.
Brethren, I know some don't like this. The holiness of God. I tell you something else, lost holiness. Marriages. It ain't holy matrimony no more. Half naked, playing contemporary music, playing every kind of stinking music that go on nowadays. Hip hopping in the house of God, walking down through with, I saw a wedding that this one woman had on them lighting up shoes underneath that gown. Those shoes were lights. The lights would come on as she's coming out of there. The lights would come on. I said, with the light would come on in her heart, man. Amen. God turned a light on him. Y'all heard Ben Cooley preaching on the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, shining into it. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The light of God's gospel has not shined into the hearts of people. You got a profession, but no possession. This living God's not in your soul. And he don't operate any different today, Brother Pat, no, than he does in communist China, or than he does with my daddy and mama. He's not operating any other way. If you're not saved, born again of the Holy Ghost, if somebody didn't come into your life and take up residence, friend, you're still lost. You're still lost. And the more you try to live for him, the worse it gets. You get miserable. You get miserable. The sweeter he gets, the sweeter I go, the sweeter he gets. Amen. I hadn't thought it was I was going to read. I'm going to try. Verse 14. Here he is on the hill. They're coming up there and he's burning up everything, moves his way. Behold, verse 14. There came fire down from heaven and burned up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Now let me read that again. I'm not reading it right. Let me back up. Oh man of God, I pray thee, let my life. Let's go back up to 13 so you can hear it. Right at the end of it. Oh man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. That's what I'm looking for. Behold, there came fire down from heaven, burn up two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. Let thy life be precious in thy sight. He's under a juniper tree, ain't he? He said it's enough and he wants to die. God feeds him with bread from heaven. He fed him with the widow woman once. Now he's feeding the angels. Jesus feeding him. And he got water from the brook. Man, that's a remember. First time I preached at your meeting, I announced my call. Well, I announced it that long. We had that service, you know. It went on and on. You know what I mean? People shouting and everybody getting announced my call. Roy Goodson sitting there with his thumbs on that big belly. He's supposed to preach at night. I was sitting by him. I said, man, the wind's blowing. It's 11 o'clock. Brother Angel gave us a break. And told us, Scott, take a break. Come back. We're going to preach a couple of preachers. I wasn't listening. I was sitting there and I said, boy, Brother Roy, it'd be hard to preach after that, buddy. It'd be hard to preach after the wind blows like that. He said, yeah, I know what you're going to preach. He didn't know it either. You're going to preach. All right. Gets up and called me and Brother Moore. And Brother Moore, he was in school at that time. We got up there, all I could say, man, the brook's going dry up! That's all I could say. The brook's going dry up! That's all I come out with, because I didn't know much more than that. But all I knew anyway. Don't too much more now. I know the brook dried up. I know the brook will dry up, I'll guarantee you that. Old Griffin's boy got up that next day during the services the next morning. He said, brother, I went home that night and I was sitting there in my bedroom. Please, not Chuck, but the other, Jeff. What's the other's name? Jeff? Steve, it wasn't Steve, it's Jeff. I know. Anyway, Jeff got up and testified that night. He said, boy, about 3 o'clock this morning, I said, what did I do? I said, I'm going to preach. He said, the brook dried up on me that 2 or 3 o'clock this morning. I never forget him saying that. The Elijah's under a tree. He's got water now from God. God gave him a cruse of water, and then he gave him bread. That's Jesus. I'm glad I drank of that water, that I'll never thirst again. I eat of that bread, I'll never be hungry again. And then he went to the cave. I've got to hurry. He went to the cave. He got in the cave, you know, and the Lord came. You know, he looked for him in the wind, looked for him in the fire, looked for him in the earthquake, looking for him. But he didn't look, he couldn't find him in the fire. He couldn't find him in the earthquake. He couldn't find him out. Where did he find him? He heard a still, small voice. Now let me give you something right there. Quit looking and start listening. Quit looking at Obama. Quit looking at all that other stuff. Quit looking at the earthquakes. Quit looking at the storms. Quit looking at all that taking place and start listening. Start listening for God. Start listening. He's still speaking tonight. He's still speaking, Brother Ray. He's in a still, small voice. You better learn how to hear His voice. You better learn how, when you go down the road, to hear that still, small voice guiding you through life and speaking to your heart. You got to learn how to listen, friend. Quit looking and start listening. Amen. You keep that TV on. You keep watching that stuff. It's going to drive you nuts. You say you ought to be informed. Okay, get informed. Okay. But don't live in that junk. Don't live in it. It'll destroy you. Amen. You ought to have information. You ought to know the news and everything. But that's what you spend more time watching the news than you do reading your Bible. In Moody's time, it was a sin to read the newspaper on Sunday. Well, what it'd be like now. That's right. It was a sin to read the newspaper on Sunday. What are we today? Come out of that cave. And this is what he done. First thing he done. First point, and I'll run. I promise you. I've got to get. The first thing he done when he come out from the depression and he went on his journey, he found him a friend. He found a friend. There's old Elisha over our plowing. He wasn't over our playing. He wasn't Mr. Superstar ball player. Brother, I played all over the country. I played ball everywhere. California, Florida, up in California, I played ball everywhere. You don't need a ball player. You don't need a ball player in that place. Man, when so-and-so is going to be speaking on the Lord Sunday, we'll take him on the ball field and let him talk that bunch. I don't need a ball player in that pulpit. And I don't need a Vietnam veteran in that pulpit. I mean, he ought about to have it. What do you need in a pulpit? A man of God's what you need in a pulpit. You need a man of God. He don't have to be a ball player or a veteran and everything else. All we need is a man of God. What's he doing? He's out there plowing. He's out there taking care of the cow. And what's he saying? No, Elijah throws his mantle on him, amen. Throws his mantle on and he jumps and says, I'm a going with you. Praise God. You ever throw your mantle on some young man and said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with you. He burnt the plow, amen. Did he not? He sacrificed the oxen and he went home and took care of home first. I said he went home and took care of his home first, preacher. He better at the trouble, that's what's happening, ain't it? And he went after him. And Elijah found him as a friend just to get this thing out of the way here right quick. I'm going to the second point real quick. He found a friend that he could share. He found a friend that he could throw his mantle on. He put his mantle on this friend. He threw his mantle over him. He said, this young man is going to serve the Lord, going to serve the Savior like you do. He's going to serve the Savior like you. He wants to serve Jesus like you do. With you, and he's with you, and he's walking with you. And you use what they call reverse psychology. You remember when he's going to go across Jordan? He said, "You stay here." He said, "I ain't going nowhere. I am not staying here. Where you going? I'm a going." They call it reverse psychology. What you call it? You know, a lot of times a preacher starts to follow you and say, "What are you following me for, boy?
You don't know how many times."
Hell, I loved it. I didn't love it either, really. You know what he says to me? I love him. He said, "I'm gonna care. I'm gonna tell him." Amen. And we'd buried Montana. We'd coming out of our brother, and I looked at him, and I just started. I said, "She's a great lady, wasn't she, Brother Rains?" "Yeah, man, she was a woman. You'd be all right." You know, that's how he says it. You just keep walking. I said, "Well, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try my best. I'm gonna go out the best I can to stay with it." You say, "Is that hurt you?" No, that's that place of where a man of God will take that young man and say, "Won't you stay here? Don't you know what you're doing? Don't you know where you're going? Don't you know it?" You tell him. You share and push him back. Say, "Come." He said, "No." He'll get determined. "I'm going to serve the Lord like you. I'm going to serve a Savior. You're my friend. I want to serve the Lord just like you serve the Lord. I want to honor Him in the moments, in the battle. There's moments in time as you found that friend. Not only the battle that you go with, the moments that you'll share with Him. Son, the moments that you'll have together with that friend. What great moments, buddy. He found a friend when he cut out of depression. He put his mantle on him. He shared the moments with him. Then he shared the ministry together. He went out. Oh, Elijah went out in a whirlwind, didn't he? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the rapture, not the grave. I'm looking for the undertaker, not the undertaker. I'm looking for the undertaker. That's my hope. It fires me up. He sent the ministry, okay? He found a friend. Second, he faced the foe again. I'm about done. He faced the foe. When you come out of depression, he went right back to the place he ran. He went back to the wall of Jezreel and said, "The dogs are going to lick your blood, lady." He told Jezebel that, right? "Throw her over, you bunch of eunuchs." They wasn't married men. There were going to be 144,000 virgin Jews in the tribulation. Where's their family? There won't be no qualifications. There won't be no church. They're going to be virgins. Men virgins. That is a soul, man. You mean God said for a man to be a virgin too? Yes, He did. You should be as pure as that girl is when you come down that aisle. He faced the foe. I jumped to the last and get done. He went back to where he ran. What are you going to do when you come out of depression? The first thing you're going to do, you'll find your friend that loves God like you do. And then you'll go back to the place where you ran. You'll face the foe. The dog's going to lick your blood. This Jezebel system that we got on our hands now, the Jezebel that's going to run for president, she's a Jezebel. You say you are not. She's a Jezebel. And I say it with thundering. I say it from the pulpit. I say it on authority. Of thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. I don't care about political correctness. And even all the understanding of freedom of speech and freedom that you have as a part of our Constitution. That is true. I honor the Constitution. I honor the works of it and everything else. But I say to you tonight, I'm not worried about what I say to man. I'm worried about what I say to God. And what God, I stand before the Lord. And I don't fear man. Whatever comes your way, you must thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. That's what the pulpit needs. Not arrogant, high-minded, politically correct, a bunch of boys that get up there and try to intellectualize you or try to tell you how much they know about the Constitution or the liberty of law and everything else and how they know all the different things about it. They got it all down and they figured it all out. What you need to do is figure out that Bible's the Word of God and that you just preach it like it says and be instant in season, out of season. It'll do its work. Take a text and preach it like it says. You don't need to start no revolution. I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. What do you mean Baptist? I thunder from the pulpit. Woo! Used to be some men sit on the front seat and say, Amen! Amen! But now they get up and go, Oh, didn't he do so lovely? Let's everybody give the man of God an applause. Let's give him applause. Applause is for man. What's void for God's man? Amen. That's what God said to do. Amen. I don't need no applause. That's for man. Quit applauding man. Start to say amen to the man of God. Amen to the man of God. What should the lady do? She ought to say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heaven God. Let him praise. Amen. Woo! That's it, old time. Way down, young people. Get away from this stinking charismatic bunch. All they do is entertain and run around half naked and jump up and go repeat their songs and play rock music and everything else. They don't even know what good music is. Woo! Amen. Face the foe. Last thing he did. Did you get an alliteration? He found him a friend. If he faced the foe, the second thing, what's the last thing he did? He fell the fire. I'm about done. I'll say these three things and quit because I've been at it too long. He come to the place that he saw life was precious. He had done, when he got on that hill on Mount Carmel, he said, he prayed a prayer and he prayed, God, show them that I'm thy servant. Then he talked about other things there. I can't remember all the things that he said to in there. But here in Mount, on that hill, he's not on a mountain. He's sitting there and he says this now. He's been in depression. He's come out from under depression and he's sitting there and here comes that first 50 up through there and he says, if. You reckon he's down a little bit? If I be the man of God. If. And fire fell. Do you believe? I believe it startled him. The fire was to fall now. I think it startled us. You know? Fire was to fall because we're going around if. If, and when it fell, to give you young people some little old ways of this nowadays generation, he gets up and goes, I still got it. It's still there. So they get come another bunch. Burns him up. Is that all you can do, Brother Harvey? Burn people up? Carrie, don't you have any compassion? That's what they say. Don't you have any compassion? I said, yeah, I reckon. I don't know what I have anymore. I don't even know. I don't know. My daughter says, Dad and friend, the love of God fill you up. Then that next day, I called her up and said, keep on praying, brother. I had a time with Jesus today. I didn't have a time with the world on this fix with you. I had a time with Him. I never felt so much love. And boy, it was a great love with Him. You know, and if I can love Him and He loves me, then I can love His people. Because he questioned Peter. He said, you love me more than these?
He said, feed my sheep. You love me more than these, they feed my lambs. You love me. You know what he's telling him? You got to love me. Then you can love them. You can't love them until you love him. You forget about it, buddy. You'll never love them until you love him. You won't be able to love them until you love him. Aren't life precious to you? As it's like they'd run that bunch right up there and fell down. They said, oh, Elijah, don't burn me up. Isn't life precious to you? Isn't it precious? Is life not precious to you? These people that, and the way they are and the things that's happened to them. Those dying in ISIS and all the other things, all the work, all the fire, all the things that's happened. People are dying, they're dying. Isn't life not precious to you? And the angel said, go down. Now I'm not saying come down from our compromise. I'm not saying compromise. I'm not saying that we need to compromise the work and go and associate with the wrong thing. I'm not saying that we need to do all that. But what I think it's saying there is you're going to have to come down from that place, not in your stand, not in the way, because he went down there and told Ahaziah that he's going to die. He still got the same message, Brother Rains. He's still saying the same thing, but he had to come down to where they're at. Life is precious. He would not live life in despair. He no longer desired to expire. And he did not end his life to retire.